Hi, it's so lovely to see your beautiful faces again. And by see, I mean imagining that your aura is all around me and I'm soaking up the good vibes telekinetically because this is still, for now, okay, building suspense. This is still for now just an audio-only experience, but that may change one of these days. So, a couple of church announcements before we get into the proceedings this evening. I just want to say shout out to everybody who's here from TikTok. I had a video that had a lot of really, really great and engaging conversation. And I know a couple of y'all took the time out of your busy lives to come over to my link tree and actually find this podcast and listen to it. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. You're awesome. And let's keep this party going. Tell a friend to tell a friend. You already know how we do. We're having fun over here. And then, one last thing before we get into it, I have a sign-up sheet for my monthly newsletter on my link tree where you found this podcast. So if you go back there and click on it, you'll see that the first entry is to sign up for a monthly newsletter. And it's not up and running just yet, but I want to collect emails just so that I can get a gauge of how many people I'll have. And I want to do some really, really cool stuff that's community-based at some point. Very, very soon, that I want this to just be like its own world and universe where we have these great conversations. We have one day, hopefully, in real life activities, or at least for the most part, virtual activities where we can come together as the aesthetically obsessed overthinkers that we are and have a grand old time. So, yeah. That was about 2 minutes worth of church announcements. So, thank you so much for lending me your ears. And now, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this particular episode. So, I want to talk about uniforms. And not uniforms in the super traditional sense, like a school uniform or like a work uniform, although we might touch a little bit on that for the most part. But mainly, I'm talking about uniform in the much broader sense of the word. Now, if you would have told me at like 16 years old that I was going to make any type of case on behalf of uniforms and dressing in a very utilitarian way, I would never have believed you because up until very, very recently in my life, the idea of not putting all of my thought and energy into getting dressed was unfathomable to me. Like, I never understood people who would say that they don't like to spend time getting ready in the morning and that they hate the idea of shopping and picking out new clothes for the season and coming up with outfits. Like, I never understood people who felt like that was such a bother and such a chore for them ever. And then I became a really, 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 really big grown-up. Then I became an adult. And my eyes have been opened, and I'm just like, whoa, okay. I think I kind of get what y'all were talking about. I didn't get it then, but I think somewhere along the way, I kind of have been picking up what y'all were putting down, and I feel you a little bit because adulthood has changed so many things for me. So let me give you guys a little backstory. I have always been really, really aesthetically outspoken all my life. I shaved my head when I was young, continued to shave my head at different points throughout my life when I just couldn't be bothered with hair because hair is a chore if you've ever had it. And I have experimented with so many different aesthetics in my lifetime because, you know, it's like, you know, it's the Madonna in me. You know how she had all her different eras? She was Asian at one point. She was Asian, she was black, then she was like Earth Mother Gaia during the Ray of Light era, which is, for the record, my favorite Madonna era. And then, you know, she wanted to go back to the dance floor, to the discotheques with the Confessions on the Dance Floor era, and then the MDNA. She was a club kid raver. So, like, Madonna's had many, many different eras. And while all of them are not politically correct in hindsight, I do feel that they were uniquely authentic to her. I will say that. Even the black era, even when she was fully walking around with cornrows looking crazy, I do still feel like it was authentic to who she was. And Say all that to say, I was the exact same way. Like, I have experimented with all these different eras in my life because that's just where life took me. That's where life took my energy. That's where life took me visually. Those are the things that spoke to me. And so there's been so many different stages of my life where I did like the pastel vibe, and I shaved my head and dyed it pink and wore really bright patterns, and that did not last long because, whoa, talk about sensory overload. But I have done the, I don't want to call myself a hood rat, but I did like the urban round the way girl era back when I was super young because that was the predominant look of the time. Urban wear was everything. Your Sean John, your Baby Fat, your Aniche. Not E Nice for those of you who did not know that. It is pronounced Nietzsche. Or actually, somebody told me it was pronounced NYC too, which I never actually verified, but that is neither here nor there. But you get the point. That was my urban wear girl from Brooklyn round the way era. I've had many different eras. And I am at the point now in my life where I have done all of the experimenting that I want to do. And the beauty of experimenting is that you go through so many different phases of seeing what you're not, so that eventually you come out on the other side of seeing what you are. And I've done so many things with my look, with my appearance, that I know now fully what I'm not. And in knowing what I'm not, I know who I am. And who I am at this stage of my life, it's about what matters most to me. What mattered when I was younger was turning a look, an LEWK, a look. That was the thing. I was like, I need to be breaking necks when I walk outside. Like, I'm not gonna go to this party in some little bum ass fit. Like, I'm gonna have the girls shook. I'm gonna have everybody crying and throwing up. Like, whatever was the phrases that we used back then, because that's not what we said back then. But that was my objective when I opened my closet and tried to find something to wear. Now my objective is actually quite the opposite. My objective is to be demure and to be calm and disarming and to be dressed in such a way where people have no choice but to pay attention to me as a person. You have no choice. There's nothing on me that is so visually interesting that you can't be hyperfixated on anything but what I'm trying to convey to you via speech. So, not coincidentally, this is probably the most career-driven part of my life that I've experienced thus far. And my new aesthetic is definitely a reflection of what I prioritize. I have a lot of face time with colleagues and with outside peers and outside vendors and people that we're trying to have potential business with long term and short term. And so, I travel now for work and I'm meeting a lot of people. I'm shaking a lot of hands. I'm doing all of the diplomatic things that I didn't have to do a couple years prior. And my objective now when I get dressed is less about what I feel and far more about what I want other people to feel. So, as I said just a few moments ago, I want to be disarming because I want people to feel at ease when they're talking to me. And as much as I loved all the different eras of my life, I have to admit, in my line of work at least, can't speak for anybody else, but in my line of work, it's distracting to have pink hair and to have multiple piercings on your face, which I had once upon a time, and to have ripped denim and vintage band t-shirts and all the stuff that I still think is absolutely beautiful. But for the objectives that I have in my life today, those types of things are a distraction from what I'm trying to focus on. I'm trying to close a deal with you. I need you to focus on the presentation that I'm giving right now. I need you to focus on how I can help your company achieve X amount of dollars in revenue if you partner with my business and we do a product rollout and blah, blah, blah. Like, that is why I'm here. I'm here for your business. I'm not here to make a splash and make a personal statement. And it's crazy because I never before in my life felt this way. And I've had, this is not my first time at the rodeo in terms of my corporate experience. Like, I've been in the world of corporate America for quite some time now, but I've never cared about my perception in this capacity in the way that I do now. And I think it's because I finally have my footing and I finally know what I want my long-term objectives to be and where I want to see myself in the next couple of years. And I feel like one of the keys in getting people to rock with me and in persuading people to give me their business and give me their time is to dress and present myself in such a way that you can't make any conclusions about me. You can't project anything onto me. And of course, projections, assumptions, all that stuff is BS, right? But it's far easier to let the mind wander and assume what kind of person you are when you have very uniquely signifying things about you, when you have on a Save the Whales t-shirt or a hot pink motorcycle jacket or any manner of those very unique signifiers. It allows the mind to have infinitely more ideas to play with about you versus if I come in and I essentially look like a blank slate, you have no preconceived notions about me. Like the wheels in your brain aren't going to turn as fast as they would if I came in here and I had a completely different aesthetic. And through careful observation of people over the last 150 years, been on this earth a long time, I have come to realize that there's so much power in looking exactly how you want to look, of course, but there is also an unspoken power in looking nondescript. And I'm finally at a stage in my life where I want to harness that power for my own agenda. And that wasn't a big deal to me a couple of years ago, and now it is. And it's funny how through careful observation of other people, it has greatly determined how I choose to look at myself. That's so funny how that works. And also, another big inspiration for this stage of my life aesthetically is none other than one Steve Jobs. Now, of course, I think most of us can guess where I'm going with this. Steve Jobs had what is probably one of the most iconic contemporary uniforms of our generation, which was the rimless glasses, the black Issey Miyake turtlenecks, the blue jeans, the Levi 501s, I believe they were, and some New Balance dad shoes. Back when they were really dad shoes, like they were not saying anything cool back then, and he was rocking with them, which I totally respect. And of course, we all know that that was Steve Jobs' iconic interpretation of the uniform. And I actually found a copy of his authorized biography, and I was thumbing through it, and I stumbled across the excerpt, or I stumbled across the part of his bio where they were talking about this uniform because it's synonymous with Steve Jobs. And for those who don't know, let me just give you a brief story about the uniform itself. I'll try to be as brief as I can. Steve Jobs went on a trip to Japan in the 80s and he visited Sony headquarters. And he was delighted, come to find out, to see that they had uniforms at Sony. They all had on these work vests, I believe they were, and they were designed by Issey Miyake. And when he asked the people at Sony about, the significance of the uniforms, they were actually ashamed of it. And they were saying, well, it's because after the war, no one had anything to wear and we had to supply people with clothes. But then it sort of morphed into a company bonding tool. Like everybody felt bonded by the idea that we all dressed the same and that we were all unified by this clothing, which signaled who we are. And Steve Jobs absolutely loved that idea so much so that he came back to America and had an all hands meeting with his staff at Apple at the time about implementing a corporate uniform as well. I believe it was a work jacket. And they weren't having that. He got booed out of there. His words, literally, he got booed off the stage. They were not trying to wear a uniform. So it just goes to show that the uniform is not for everyone, but if it is for you, there's totally valid reasons as to why that is. So while his team did not adopt the idea of the uniform, Steve Jobs kept at it for himself. And he had Issey Miyake design the black turtleneck that we know him for. And Miyake made hundreds of them. And Steve Jobs was quoted as saying in the book that I have enough turtlenecks to last me for the rest of my life. And his reasons for wearing that uniform really speak to me at this stage in my life, because his first reason, primarily, which totally resonates with me, was that essentially he suffers from decision fatigue. He has to make so many decisions throughout the day, and not trying to figure out what to put on his back is just one less decision. It frees up his brain power to make one more decision on behalf of Apple and on behalf of something that is more significant to him, which I completely understand because I feel like I need a personal assistant. Like, I know that's super dramatic, but I'm saying that to illustrate the point that decision fatigue is such a real thing, and I'm definitely feeling it, especially at my work. If you ask me, I do the job of like two or three people, which I'm definitely going to advocate for myself to get a promotion. So TBD girlies. But point being, I make so many decisions right now at my organization. And even when I'm not at work, like I have to make so many decisions just breathing and choosing to live another day as an adult in this body. Like, it's really crazy. You have to make decisions about what you're going to eat, what you're going to get from the grocery store, what kind of cleaning supplies do I want, what day am I going to clean the toilet, what day am I going to mop the floors, what day am I going to rearrange the furniture. Like, oh, it's just so many decisions have to be made on a day-to-day basis that, compiled with the decisions that I now make in my career, it's just too many decisions. Like, point blank, period. It's one too many decisions for me. And I love the fact that when I wake up in the morning, in particular, when I'm like super over it, like I'm super over the mornings. I am not a morning girl. I'll get up, but like don't expect me to actually be functional and have a conversation with you. So in the mornings, especially, I don't want to think. I don't. I know that I have a whole day's worth of objectives that need to get done. And I'm gearing myself up energetically to make those decisions later on in the day. I don't want my first thought of the day to be, what goes with this? Oh, these shoes don't go with the shirt, or this shirt doesn't go with this skirt, or oh, am I going for a sporty vibe? Am I going for this? I don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. And, I give myself a little bit more leeway in my personal life, but when it comes to my work wardrobe, for sure, it's a uniform, honey. It's definitely a uniform at this point. And my work uniform is t-shirt with oversized men's button-up as like a coverall jacket kind of vibe, and then black trousers and a sensible shoe. My sensible shoe is usually like I have these slip-on Nikes that I'm obsessed with. And I'm so decision fatigued that I actually now specifically only look at sneakers that are slip-ons because I don't want to be bothered with tying my shoes. Like, I know somebody's definitely going to roll their eyes at me right now. Like, seriously, girl, like, not even a shoelace, really. But, like, yes, really. That's how spent I am energetically. That's how over everything I am. Like, I love when I get up in the morning and I have to put on my shoe after I had to pack my lunch and do my hair and put on a little bit of makeup. Like, the last part of the look is the shoe. And I just pop them on and leave out the door. Like, I love it. I hate the idea that after all of that, I would have to bend down on and crouch down and tie my shoes and leave. Like, it sounds like it's not that big of a deal, but for me mentally, where I'm at with life, like it's just too much. I can't be bothered. So I absolutely have a uniform for work. And then in my real life, I don't necessarily have a uniform, but what I will say is that I have a very strict rubric for what passes the test to become part of my closet and part of my wardrobe. And so, on a high level, my absolute must for anything that I bring into my closet is that I have to be able to get dressed in 7 minutes or less. I'm an incredibly fast dresser. If you ever hang out with me and we're ever getting ready for something, you will blink your eyes and I will be dressed because that is how I live my life. I don't like things that have a lot of zhuzh, that have a lot of complicated buttons and zippers and like the little, oh my God, the little hoop thing in the back of certain blouses and shirts where you have to hook the button over the little loop thing. I hate that. I'm not doing that. I don't have time for that. Or like dresses that have a really annoying zip that goes from the ruta to the tuta and it always gets stuck. No, I don't have time for that either. So I have a very specific criteria for what I allow in my closet. I don't do anything that requires dry cleaning at this stage of my life because I don't have the desire or the time or the energy to bring this stuff to the cleaners, get a call that it's finally done, go back there and get it, come back to my house. I don't have the energy for that. I can't. If it's not machine wash, tumble dry low, or something like that, literally don't even bother me with it. I will never wear it. I'll never put it on my back. And I do have some pieces in my closet that I just can't break ties with because they're sentimental and they are dry clean only from back when I had the time and the energy. And I just don't wear them. I just stare at them as like archival pieces. Like, oh, remember when, you gave a damn? Like, that's basically what they're there for, to remind me that I wasn't always this way. So say all that to say, I very much have decision fatigue of my own. Now, I'm not running a multi-billion dollar company like Steve Jobs, but by no means do I think that you need to be responsible for a multi-billion dollar company in order to have decision fatigue. And I think especially for me as like a woman who lives alone, I am partnered, but like I don't live with anyone. I make every decision in this house by myself. Like I can't put it off on anyone else to be like, "Oh my God, you figure out what you want to eat tonight." Oh my God, you figure out what day you want to clean the house. Like, I can't put it on someone else and be like, hey, report back to me and then let me know when I can be there and help out and do the thing together. I don't have that option. So, every household decision, every financial, or excuse me, every career decision, every personal decision, it all stems from my one little brain. And she is tired. She wants to shut off after a certain time. She wants to recollect herself. And I want her to have that because that's super important. And so, if I can retain some of that energy by making what's in my closet work for me, why wouldn't I do that? At this stage of my life, that's how I feel. Why wouldn't I do that? So, you may come into my closet and you might not understand the method to the madness because it's not like a traditional capsule closet where it seems like every capsule closet hates anything funky whatsoever, hates anything unique. Like it's straight up Banana Republic theory, maybe a little bit of Koss vibes in that closet. It's usually giving boring. It's giving boring. I don't think I'm giving boring all the way like that, but for who I am and for what I interpret as simple, no nonsense, no fuss dressing, that's what I have in my life right now. And it's absolutely serving the purpose that it needs to have, for sure. And then also going back to my original point earlier about my career goals at this stage of my life, Steve Jobs also said that his uniform was just as much in consideration for other people as it was in consideration for himself. And that he doesn't want distractions when he's trying to have an important conversation or when he's trying to seal the deal or when he's trying to network. He wants people to focus on the content of what he's saying and not focus on his hairdo or his eyeliner, or I'm saying, if Steve Jobs was the kind of person that wore that stuff, go along with the flow. His shoes, his belt, he doesn't want people to be focused on that stuff. Focus on the content of what I'm saying. This is the most important thing. This is what we're here for. So focus on that because it's so easy for the brain, even subconsciously and voluntarily, to pay attention to exactly what it should not be paying attention to. And so that is all the more reason to adorn yourself in a way that, at least when you're in these sorts of situations, adorn yourself in a way that doesn't take away from the main focus of why everybody is here. And I totally 100% feel that. That's exactly where I am in my life right now. And it's so crazy to be here and to feel this way and to be saying this because never in a million years did I think that this would be me. But if you live long enough, you get to experience so many different sides of the coin. So it's definitely surreal, but it's also a testament to how long I've been here and how much life has grown and changed. And as a result, my wardrobe and my aesthetic has to grow and change with it. And I'm just, if you couldn't tell by now, I think I suffice it to say, I am pro uniform in the sense of understanding your why, understanding what matters most to you, and then conveying that in the way that you dress. I've always considered myself a fairly minimalist person. I read a book a few years ago called Essentialism, and so now I actually call myself an essentialist, but most people don't really know what that is. So, for lack of a better term, I call myself a minimalist, more or less. I'm not focused on the number of things I have per se, but I am focused on the quality of the things that I have. And for me right now, are these clothes going to improve my quality of life? And improving my quality of life looks like giving me my time back. Is this item going to give me my time back? If it has a lot of buttons and a lot of zippers and I need somebody else's help to get in and out of it, no, it's not going to give me my time back. And quite the opposite, actually. It's going to eat up any extra time and any extra energy that I had. And so, if that is the case, I can't have it in my closet. And it doesn't mean that there are not so many beautiful things that I see that I love that I don't have. Like, there's so many beautiful things that I will not have because they don't give me my time back. And understanding my why and why I want the things that I have, it's so empowering and it allows me to feel so much more appreciation for the stuff that I have because everything in my closet is allowing me to live my least stressful life. And I think that in the back of my mind, especially when I start to have those little feelings of doubt about my closet because I'm on the internet, and the internet is one big giant shopping mall, and it's just showing you more and more and more, and telling you subtly and not so subtly that you need this, you need that over there. And centering the why I own the amount of things that I do, is so critical to not only freeing up my mind, but freeing up my wallet too, because I don't have FOMO for any material item at this stage of my life. I really don't. For example, I saw the Sandy Liang Bagu collaboration and I saw one of the little reusable bags and I was like, oh, that might be cute. I'm looking for a new reusable bag. I don't really have that many. And it's sold out because, you have the vultures that are now known as resellers. And so I just shrugged it off and I was like, oh, okay, wasn't meant. Because I understand my why. My why is to make my life easier. If I have to camp out online and try and stock an item as soon as it drops, that goes against my why. That's not freeing up my mind. That's not freeing up my time. Quite the opposite. And so having that central to everything that I do and every decision that I make about what I buy has been so life-affirming and life-changing. And if you're anywhere in the ballpark of what I've been feeling, where you're just so tired and so over it, I totally understand you. You're not alone. I see you. And I would absolutely argue that somebody who has a uniform thinks just as deeply about their clothing as someone who has a closet that's bursting at the seams, if not more, actually. Because I think it takes a lot more understanding and thinking to have a collection of items that is really true to who you are than to just have stuff that is hot for the moment. I don't know that everyone that has clothing that's hot right now is really doing the deep inner work to understand why they buy the things they buy. And that is my super hot take. And again, I'm not good at ending these episodes. I'm trying my best to find like a way to smoothly segue out of things, but it's a work in progress, y'all. You know, these things take time. None of this stuff comes with a roadmap, so bear with me. But that is the extent of my thoughts on this topic. As always, if you agree, if you disagree, if you're somewhere in the middle, I love to hear about it. You can find me on the socials that are going to be linked to this episode. If you look at the description, you'll find me there. Talk to me on either one of those platforms. You can also email me, which you can find on those platforms as well if you click on the link tree. And I would love to know what you think about this. The power of uniforms. Where do we stand on that as individuals? Is it just me? Do you feel me? Please tell me. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's please have a bigger conversation about this. The best part of this is hearing back from all of you, so please don't be shy. And I'll see you on the internet somewhere. Bye.